Okay, Dave, how are you doing today?
Very well, thanks, Alex.
Dave Archer, CEO, Savannah Resources, ticker on AIM, SAV. It's been a little while since we've caught up.
Absolutely, but we've been busy. And as you can see from our announcement, we've been very active, particularly here in Europe, on the lithium front.
Definitely. Just before we touch on about today's news, can I just backtrack because I haven't spoke to you since I think it was back end of February. I'm just your RNSs. You're drilling underway in Oman.
Yep, and we're drilling as we speak on the Arger mine, and that's been going pretty well. We have a new set of drilling contractors. They've been performing very sort of satisfactorily, and we're very sort of pleased with the progress that we've been seeing there.
The one that stands out for me is the connection with the Rio Tinto, the joint venture updates you put out in March, just for listeners that were not up to speed with the company.
Yeah, sure. Well, we announced a joint venture with Rio Tinto last year around the combination of our Jangamo and Rio Tinto's Matamba and Dongane projects on the coast of Mozambique, just north of Maputo. Rio's work there has defined a world-class series of deposits of heavy minerals along the coast. And that transaction is subject to the approval of the Mozambican government. We've been sort of seeking that approval very actively over the last few months, and sort of moving forward satisfactorily towards what we hope will be a satisfactory outcome over the next little while. So that's been our major sort of point of focus. Once that approval is through, we'll be getting onto the ground, doing some further evaluation work, but more importantly, moving on to framing up, undertaking and completing a scoping study, which will help sort of define the major parameters around a potential mine development. We're very excited about that. As I said, these are world-class deposits, and we feel very honoured to be able to evaluate those in combination with the joint venture with the global major Rio Tinto.
It's definitely a well-renowned name. Like you say, we spoke the last couple of months ago, so we can kick off by saying the company is you're busy since with the acquisitions of two lithium licenses in Finland, and this also adds to the current portfolio, the copper and gold assets in Oman and heavy minerals sand project in Mozambique. You're just unbelievably busy, like, and you're under the radar. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, I think what we've really done is develop a relatively sort of deep portfolio of projects to fill out our project pipeline. So we obviously have the Oman copper, which we hope to have in production late in calendar 2017. A bit further back, we've got the mineral sands. We'll be undertaking scoping studies there. That would probably be the second cab off the production rank. And then on the more greenfields grassroots side, we have the lithium projects in Finland. So we think all of those projects sort of sit comfortably together and provide us with a logical set of projects for sequential development over the next 10 years.
This move into funding marks a significant development for Savannah. Can you give us a little more information on the projects you've required?
Well, it's a bit colder up there than it is in Oman, so I'm not quite sure that I'm looking forward to that. But in terms of they're located in Finland. The good news is that that really is an excellent jurisdiction. They've got a very well-developed mining code there. It's a great country to do business in, and the projects that we've identified in Finland are probably some of the best lithium projects in Scandinavia that are available at the moment. We've been sort of reviewing these opportunities now for a couple of months, and have ranked a sort of series of opportunities in Finland, and these were the two that came up as the best opportunities for us. They cover an area of about 159 square kilometres, and they're something of the order of 117 individual occurrences of these pegmatite complexes. And lithium minerals have been identified on the areas, and Finland itself has had a history of modest lithium mining over recent decades. So we think it ticks a lot of boxes, and we're pretty excited that we'll be able to get in there, and we think we'll be able to undertake a quite effective exploration program during the balance of calendar 2016.
It's definitely a political stable country. Lithium appears to be the, well, it's probably not the right word, but the hot commodity at the moment. Can you just explain to the viewers or the listeners, sorry, why you're going into this sector and what do you see forward coming from it?
Well, I think the demand for lithium will really be supported by the increasing demands for, particularly things like electric vehicles, EVs. People like Tesla in the United States are looking to produce 500,000 cars per annum, which will be electric, fully electric vehicles. Tesla is actually manufacturing a gigafactory just outside of Reno, Nevada, which will consume enough the equivalent amount of lithium that's in that one factory that's currently consumed globally at the moment per annum. So electric vehicles are really going to drive the sort of growth in demand for lithium-based minerals. For example, in China at the moment, there are something like 50 million electric bikes, mainly lead acid battery powered bikes. But over time, we think that'll be they'll be that'll sort of change over the fleet will change over to mainly lithium battery powered bikes. In Beijing alone, there are something of the order of 2.5 million of these electric bikes wandering around the streets. And I was in Shanghai a few weeks ago and almost got caught on a couple of occasions by these very sort of silent electric bikes that whiz around the streets. So that's really going to sort of drive lithium demand, as well as that the cost of lithium batteries will go down. They'll become much more competitive for storage of electricity, on a grid scale, industrial scale, commercial scale, and even individual scale. So, with renewable energy, obviously there's a lot of energy generated during the course of the day with solar power, and it's windier during the day than generally it is at night. So there'll be an increasing requirement for temporary storage from renewable sources, and again that'll sort of play to the demand for lithium. So you've got all these sort of very large influences which will bear very heavily on lithium demand, and we're already sort of seeing quite marked increases in the price for lithium carbonate. And people such as Deutsche Bank are predicting something like a sort of a 3 times increase in demand for lithium-based minerals over the next 10 years or so. And it may well be that they get it wrong, and that's actually an underestimation.
Yeah, on the positive side, because like you say, if you look at the lithium and you look at the major car manufacturers in Europe now, that's the way they're turning. You see it every week. Everybody's talking about it now. That's the way they've got to go. And it looks a very exciting market. It looks like it's turning. The market's turning as well for the mining and the energy companies at the moment.
Yeah, well, I think what you've sort of seen with some of the scandals, if you like, around
Emissions, yeah.
emissions standards are really sort of driving this. And I think it's become sort of clearer to people that apart from apart from global warming associated, that might be associated with carbon dioxide emissions. Motor vehicles really aren't great things to have trundling around a city when they're sort of spewing out particulate matter, which has sort of quite serious health implications for people who live in cities and I suppose outside of cities as well. So I think there's a really sort of major move both from a energy energy consumption drive and from a broad environmental drive to move away from the internal combustion engine and towards hybrid and ultimately electric vehicles.
I've got to go back to Finland just to pick up on that one. I'll sound really clever here, but I'm not, obviously. It says Finland was ranked number one by the Fraser Institution in its 24 survey of 122 mining jurisdictions around the world. Is that what attracted you to Finland? Why Finland?
Yeah, well, I think, it certainly does really help to have a bit of a following wind that you've got in a particular jurisdiction in which you operate, that you have a well sort of thought out mining code that's with good supporting regulations and a regulatory body that is adept at sort of managing the process and sort of encouraging exploration and investment in the country. And we sort of see all of those features in Finland. And so it's an attractive place in which to invest. It's a modern first world country. I mean, it's not to say that it's necessarily easier. We do expect that there will be, of course, the usual and not unsurprising requirements around sort of world's best practice in terms of social and environmental management. And of course, we're sort of very used to performing and operating our business to those sorts of standards. So no, it's a good place to operate, and not too far from London either.
Yeah, that's true. Right, so this is a double question for you. What are your development plans for these lithium projects? And also, what would you say to your shareholders today with the direction you're going?
Yeah, well, I think in terms of the way forward, I think 2016 will be an active year. We'll get these licenses fully granted. At that stage, we'll put a small team on the ground to do further mapping, sampling, and assaying of these lithium pegmatites. On the back of that, I think we'll then perhaps do some trenching, which will expose, if you like, the lines of mineralization there. That'll give us a much better understanding of the geometry of these deposits as a prelude to defining drilling targets by the end of this year, and perhaps putting some drill holes into it, maybe even late this year, all going well. Looking beyond that, I can't really sort of see much further than that at this stage, but it should be an active but not overwhelmingly expensive year to take these two projects forward in Finland.
So you obviously your shareholders, this is a new thing for you and all that. So hopefully they should see this positive. It's another thing within Savannah Resources, another feather, if you like. I don't know the word to use actually.
Well, yeah, it certainly fills out our project pipeline, and really, I sort of see copper and lithium being opposite sides of the same coin, if you like. Copper will be sort of very vital in terms of the reconfiguring of global the global grid. From an energy generation point of view, and on the consumption side, lithium will be sort of the key metal on the energy consumption side because of its attractive operational characteristics in batteries. So, opposite sides of the same coin.
Definitely. I'll just put one more to you because I know you're a busy guy. How does the planned development of these projects go with your interest in Oman and Mozambique? What would you say to that, please?
Yeah, no, we think that they sort of sequence in rather well. Obviously, our principal focus is driving forward towards copper production in Oman in late 2017, and we don't sort of see our lithium initiative in any way sort of getting in the way of that. Next cab off the rank will be the mineral sands in Mozambique, and we're working, we'll be working, you know, very vigorously post government approval to take that forward into a scoping study, and take, and then on the Finland side, it'll be relatively light touch, low expenditure exploration activities during the balance of 2016, which will hopefully provide our shareholders with a much better understanding as to the extensiveness of the lithium mineralisation there in the in those two tenements. So all of these projects are not work well together. They're not mutually inconsistent, and it's a project load that we'll be well able to handle, both in terms of people and money. And remembering that we are very well supported by the Al Marjan Group, who came in as a major 29% shareholder earlier this year with an investment of £1.7 million. So we've got really a very top-class register of very able shareholders, with the ability and intention to follow their money.
Sticky shareholders as well, may I add. And that's the success, I think, of any company. Willing to hold and take the company forward.
Exactly. So, you know, something like somewhere between 40 and 50% of our register will not see the light of day.
It's like I say, it was a pleasure talking to you the last time. And thanks very much for taking the time out today to talk to us on your announcement and news. And Dave, please keep in touch.
Okay. Well, thanks, Alex, and much appreciated.
No, absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thanks very much.